Hey, thanks for joining us here at South Reno United Methodist Church, where we love God, love people, and make disciples. If you have any questions or want to know more about us as a church, you can always check us out online by going to southrenoumc.org. With that being said, let's go to this week's lesson.
So as we get started, I just want to share something that I think we all have in common. All right? And Boyd, you're going to have to help me out because the clicker's not working. That's not what we have in common. The one thing that I think we all have in common is that we all want to be known for something. We all want to be known for something. You know, not just at that meeting that you're not going to be at sometime in the future, where they're talking about who you were and preparing for a service, but right now, we all want to be known for something. You know, when you think about yourself, there are adjectives that you hope come to mind. And if somebody were to stop you and say, well, what do you want people to remember you for? You know, not just what you put on social media posts, because that's only the good stuff. But what do you want to be known for? You know, for myself, I can think at different phases of my life. I've had different thoughts. I mean, I can remember as a child I wanted to be smart, and then realized, yeah, that wasn't going to work too well for me. Or when I was in the wood shop working with my dad, I thought, I want to be a craftsman. I want to be known for being a craftsman with wood. Or maybe it was later as I was doing photography and thought, Ansel Adams, yeah. You know, hard worker, great father, good husband. We'll do whatever it takes. But what about you? What about you? I'm not, that's a rhetorical question. I'm not going to ask you to stand up and share it, but think about it. What adjectives describe you? You want to describe you. And then that takes us to our next point. What do you do when you don't measure up to that? What do you and I do when we don't measure up to that, what we want to be thought of? You know, quite honestly, I don't know about you, but we pretend. That's what Facebook does. That's what social media does. It allows us to say, well, no, this is who I really am. And we make excuses and we mislead. We manage our image, if you want to think of it that way. The problem with that is then we become imaginary people. And that's a problem. When you are something on the inside and you're projecting something else on the outside. Because genuine friendship will then be impossible, because they'll only know the imaginary you, not the real you. Relationships are impossible. Genuine intimacy is difficult when there's this large gap between what you hope people think and what they do think. And the moment, here's the reality, the moment you stop, you start pretending, you stop growing. The moment we start pretending, we stop growing because we stop changing and trying to grow into that thing that we really want. Pastors are the worst at this. And part of it Oh, no, I shouldn't say this. Part of it I was going to say is your fault. But, you know, no, it's not your fault. It's something we put on ourselves. But imagine if I stood up here on Sunday to introduce a new sermon on self-control, and I said, I want to thank those individuals that picked me up at the bar last night because I had too much to drink and I had to get home. You would not think too kindly of me, would you? And so part of that is a perception that other peoples can put on you. But the reality is we still have to live with who we are. Because the truth is, all of us have gaps. Most of us have gaps. There's a gap between what or who we want to be known for and who we really are. And so we're all tempted to pretend and to cover up. And you know the... You know where we do that the best? Right here at church. Oh, I got my life all together. But it doesn't work. We become pretendaholics, if you want to think of it that way. And the reality is we have to mind the gap. Now, I don't know if you've... This is a picture from England, and when I was over there, you get on these either trains or the underground, and you see that little yellow line right outside the door? Well, it has three words. Mind the gap. If you don't, you could get your foot caught. You could get something. You could injure yourself. And the reality is we have to do the same thing. We have to mind the gap. That gap between our projected imaginary self and who we really are. So here's the question. What kind of person do you want to be? That's another way to phrase that question, those adjective questions. What kind of person do you want to be? What kind of life do you want to live? Do I want to live? It requires me to answer those questions, to mind the gap. And that's really, I want to use the scripture that Dale read this morning just to look at Peter and what took place in the midst of that story. Because the question for you and the question for me is, do we really want to change? Do we really want to become that person? And are we willing to make the steps to do it? So in verse 4 and 5 of Luke 5, it says, when he had finished speaking, that's Jesus, he said to Simon, now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. And Simon Peter very quickly went, come on, I've been fishing all night and I didn't catch a thing. You're not a fisherman. Why would you know what to do? That's my paraphrase. But here's the reality. If we want to change, we have to follow Simon Peter's example. And at the end of that verse 5, it says this, but if you say so, I'll let down my nets. If you say so. So I have to grow in obedience. You're following along in your notes. You have to grow in obedience. That's what Simon Peter did. And it goes on. What happened as a result? In verse 6 and 7, it says, and at this time their nets were so full they began to tear, and they had to shout for help from other partners. And they filled both boats, and they were on the verge of sinking. When I hear that, I think of that text in Matthew 7, when Jesus said, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person that builds a house on a solid rock. That's what Peter did. That's what you and I need to do. As we grow in obedience. But the other thing that happened in the midst of that is it wasn't just growing in obedience. He grew in relationship. That's part of the change that takes place. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus. "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm a sinful man." For he was awestruck by the number of fish that had caught, as were the others with him. They grew in their understanding of what God was calling them to. And that's really the third piece. Obedience then grows in relationships, as Peter invited others to join, and then in a process of spiritual formation. That's really what we're talking about. Here's what I'd like us to think about. We want to be known for something. You want to be known for something, right? But I think what God has designed in us isn't just to be known for something. It's to be known by someone. To really know who we are. To value who we are. Last week we talked about Hebrews and needing to meet together and to stir each other up with love. That was one of the words that a pastor in that day and age wrote, or the pastor of Jerusalem in the first church. And James said, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another, confess those gaps to one another, and pray for each other so that you may be healed." Now, here's the reality. Can we do that in this room? How about if I was to start with George or maybe Deb and say, "Why don't you stand up and share with everybody?" Not going to happen, is it? But what happens when we're in a smaller, more intimate group of three or four or six? Things change. That's when we can really live into this question of Romans 14, where it says, accept one another just as Christ has accepted you. It's our opportunity to do that. We want to be known for something, but we really want to be known by someone. That happens in circles, not in rows. We learn in rows, what you're doing this morning as we're talking about the text. But we grow in circles. We grow when we meet together in a group of six or eight, 10, and really get to share who we are, to let that guard down, to be more transparent, little by little by little. That's when we really become the church. It's a both and, rows and circles. Because here's the reality. You and I will never become who we want to be until we face who we actually are and people like us and want to be with us. That's the challenge. We talked last week and we share again this week, you know, about the grace groups. Sunday morning, whether it's during this service for the 8 o'clock people, or it's 11 o'clock for those of you in this service, for 7 Sundays, starting in the first Sunday in October. Spend an hour together. See if God doesn't draw you closer to Him and to one another, and we truly become the church that God calls us to. Not just learning in rows, but growing in circles. So that's the challenge. That's the next step. To sign up for a grace group. Let's be in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for the church and the great cloud of witnesses that have gone before us. I pray that this morning you would give us wisdom to know what to do with what we've just heard. And not just know what to do, that you would give us the courage to take this step and do something so remarkable that we would look back on this day years from now and say, this was the day my life changed. And it wasn't because of a sermon. It wasn't because of a church service. It was because of a small group of people who loved me for who I am. A grace group. Lord, be about your work, we pray. Amen.
As a church, it is our honor to play a small part in all that God is doing in and through your life. And we would like to continue with you on that journey. To find out what your next step could be in your relationship with Christ, all you have to do is go to southrenoumc.org/next. After all, here at South Reno, we are all helping you become the person God created you to be.